Man, I'm so pumped about this series. I've been wanting to talk about this for a long time and haven't had an opportunity to talk about this, and it's just a perfect time. And imagine I'm telling you a joke. So this naive guy and this fool and this mocker walk into a bar. Now, sounds like the beginning of a bad joke, you know, that you might share in middle school or something like that. But the truth is, it really kind of is the beginning of a bad joke. Somebody's, see, there you go. It's so funny that was going off there. It was Violet. It was Violet's fault, wasn't it? It was. Blame it on your kid, Brett. Blame it on your kid. But that sounds like the beginning of a bad joke. And you know what? It kind of is the beginning of a bad joke. Because I want you to think about those three characters for a minute. A naive guy, a fool, and a mocker. See, those three characters are really three of the prime characters that we read about in the Old Testament book of Proverbs. And as we're going to see over the next 3 weeks, all of us in this room have been, or currently are, or will one day be, one of those three characters. Let me say that again. All of us in this room have been, currently are, or will be a naive person, a fool, or a mocker at some time in our life. But as we're going to see, or as you hopefully are going to see, that's not who we want to be. Even though we might be one of those at one time, we don't want to stay there. Let me tell you a little bit about the book of Proverbs. It's one of my favorite books in the Old Testament. And the reason why, it's this collection of wise sayings. And the whole purpose of the book of Proverbs is to motivate you to pursue wisdom and to live wisely. And it's such a practical book. And I even say this, if you don't believe in God, the one book in the Bible that you can read and not be offended is probably the book of Proverbs, because it has so much wisdom in it, and all of us should read it. But the book of Proverbs effort to motivate you to live a wise life, it gives you some warnings from some people who aren't wise. And there are a number of unwise people. There's lazy people in the book. There's, like I said, you need to read it. But the three main unwise characters that we read about in the book of Proverbs are the naive person, the fool, and the mocker. And so for the next 3 weeks, what we're gonna do is we're gonna look at each of these characters, and I'm gonna invite you to ask yourself a question as we go through this series looking at these characters, and that is this. Is this you? Are you naive? Are you a fool? Are you a mocker? Today, we're going to start talking about the naive person. Now, like I said, all of us have been, we currently are, or we will be one of these three characters. So if you realize that this is me, don't freak out. Don't panic. Don't be like, oh, I can't even be a Christian now. Don't think that. But see, because we all have experienced life as a naive person or as a fool or as a mocker before, but the problems arise when we stay naive or when we stay a fool or when we stay a mocker. So like I said, we're going to start off talking about the naive person this morning. And let me just say that if you're naive, you probably don't know. If you're naive, you probably don't know. Or if you do know, you're not going to admit it, because that might mean that somebody knows more than you, and naive people don't want to admit that somebody knows more than them. And I've never met anybody who's naive who says, you know what my problem is? I'm just naive. And the reason why they don't say that is because by the time you realize you're naive, you're not naive anymore. You've grown past that. You've learned some things. So I think this is kind of an interesting and fun and also challenging character to think about. But let me tell you who naive people are. If you're in school, particularly middle school or high school, or maybe you're a freshman or a sophomore in college, or maybe you're in your early 20s, if you're a newlywed, if you are starting a new job or a new career, that's you. You are a naive person. And you might, if I just totally lost my place. You might think it's offensive to say, oh, I'm naive. Or you might be kind of think it's a put down when somebody calls you naive. But the thing is, it's not an insult. It's not a put down. The reason why is that everyone comes into this world naive. Like being naive, it's just a normal part of life. And that's because anybody that's naive, all that sets them apart as a naive person is that they lack experience. And all of us at one time or another have lacked experience in something. And think about it. You can only have so much experience by the time you're 17 years old. You can only have so much experience in your first year of marriage. You can only have so much experience as you start a new job or a new career. So it's not a put down to say that you're naive, but it sounds so much like a put down that most of us are unwilling to look in the mirror and really do a serious self-assessment to see if we are naive and then respond accordingly. But like I said, the naive person, they lack experience. And so consequently, a naive person thinks that they can figure life out on their own. You've never done that, I know. But that's what a naive person does. They think that they can just figure life out on their own, and they end up suffering the consequences for thinking that. That's why whenever somebody with more experience or a wise person or a parent or a boss or somebody tries to speak into a naive person's life, they just think that the wise person's overreacting. But they're not overreacting. You know why? Because they just know more than you know. So there are verses all over the book of Proverbs that have to do with a naive person. And as we're going to see in some of these verses we're going to look at this morning, the book of Proverbs doesn't use the word naive. It uses the word simple. Well, simple's, they're actually the same word. You can interchange the words. But as we're going to see, simple just seems a little unpolitically correct, I don't know. It just seems like a little bit more of a put down than a naive person. So I like the word naive. But look at what it says here in Proverbs 14:15. It says, the simple believe anything, or the naive believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Now I want you to think about this for just a minute. What this is saying is that the naive person, when it says the simple believe anything, they're easily fooled. But a prudent person, they think things through. Now, who's a prudent person? A prudent person is someone who just uses thoughtfulness and wisdom in their daily living. A prudent person who's someone who has allowed God's word to guide their living. And so they learn things from God's word and they apply that in their daily living. That's a prudent person. But a simple person, they're easily fooled. Have you ever been easily fooled? Have you ever been on Facebook? You know, we are... filled with naive people. The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps. Look at another one, verse 18 out of the same chapter. The simple inherit folly, but the prudent are crowned with knowledge. Now, I think it's interesting that it says the simple inherit folly, because, you know, we inherit things from our family, we inherit things from our friends, but what this is telling us is that a naive person receives folly or bad decisions from their family and friends. Why? Because they're inexperienced, because they don't know any better. But the prudent person, they use knowledge to make good decisions. And see, this part right here, the simple inherent folly, this is why your friends can talk you into doing dumb things. Have you ever had an experience where your friends talked you into doing something that you look back on and later regret? I mean, I think that your teenage years were filled with that, right? I mean, that just kind of describes a lot of us. Hopefully not your adult years, but that's what this is saying. But the prudent person is crowned with knowledge. Let me show you one more passage. And this is actually found twice in the book of Proverbs, the same verse two times in the book of Proverbs, which means we should probably pay attention to it. It says, the prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and pay the penalty. See, the prudent, they use thoughtfulness and wisdom that comes from God's word to see danger coming, and they avoid it. But the simple person or the naive person, they don't see the danger coming, and they end up suffering for it. That's why they make dumb decisions, right? Because they're naive. They don't see the danger that's out there. And so they end up doing things that they regret. Well, I think those are great verses. I love those verses. But I want to look at one more passage, because I think this passage paints just the perfect picture of what a naive person looks like. It's found in Proverbs chapter 7. Let me tell you a little bit about these verses, the context of what's going on here. Because in this passage, what you have is you have a wise man who's standing in his window, and he's looking out of his window, and he sees a naive person walking down the street. And the wise person knows where the naive person is walking to. See, the wise person knows that the naive person is walking to that part of town where the prostitutes come out at night. And the wise person knows where the naive person is headed, and he's watching this, and he knows what's going to happen, but the naive person doesn't know what's going to happen. See, the naive guy is thinking to himself, well, this is going to be great. This is going to be something I remember for my entire life. This is going to be something I look back on. It's going to be one of those things I can chalk up on my bucket list or whatever. And the wise man is looking out the window saying, you have no idea where you're headed. You have no idea what's going on. Look at verse 6. It says this, at the window of my house, I looked out through the lattice and I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, in other words, there was a bunch of naive people outside right there. Okay, but I saw among the simple, I noticed among the young men, a youth who lacked judgment. This last phrase here is so important to understanding who a naive person is. There's someone who lacks judgment. And here's the deal. The naive person isn't a sinner because they lack judgment. We all lack judgment at times. They just lack judgment because they don't have experience. They are naive about some things. It's how we all come into the world. We all come to the world with this simple understanding of life. There's just so much we don't know. And this guy didn't know some things. He lacked judgment. Now, here's the problem. Very few of us, when we're naive, are willing to admit that we lack judgment. And that's why we end up suffering the consequences from that. We're unwilling to say, you know what? There are some things that I don't know. There's some experience that I don't have. There's some people that know some things that I don't know, and I should probably listen to them. We don't do that. And so we end up making bad decisions, which is exactly what happens with this guy. Look at verse 8. It says, he was going down the street near her corner, walking along in the direction of her house. Now I'm going to let you finish reading this passage later on. It's kind of an R-rated part of the Bible, so I'm not going to kind of read it to all of us in the room today. But what you have here is this naive guy thinking this is going to be great, this is going to be awesome, and this wise guy looking at him, watching him, seeing in the direction he's going, and saying, dude, you have no idea. Actually, the end of the passage says this, like an ox to the slaughter he goes. Like an ox to the slaughter he goes. In other words, when you lack judgment, when you lack experience, you end up doing some dumb things. You end up doing some things that you regret. You may end up doing some things that have lifelong consequences. That's exactly what happens in this passage. Kind of help you understand that a little bit better. Think about it this way. This is why college freshmen get so many credit card applications in the mail. Like I remember being in Clemson, and I cannot tell you how often I went to the post office box there underneath Harcum Dining Hall at Clemson, and I had multiple credit card offers in my mailbox. Not only that, on the way to class, I'm passing all these booths with people saying, if you sign up for a credit card, you're gonna get a free t-shirt. If you sign up for a credit card, you're gonna get, you know, that. And the reason why that's the case, or the reason why college freshmen fill all these out is because college freshmen are naive in the ways of credit. Like, think about it. An 18 or 19 or 20-year-old doesn't know what it's like to wake up with $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 worth of debt. An 18, 19, or 20-year-old have no idea what it's like to file bankruptcy. And you know what? The credit card companies know that. And so they bombard these naive freshmen with all these credit card applications. See, college freshmen, they're naive. It's just part of being young. It's not like, it's not a put down. It's just they don't know any better, right? This is why sometimes we think things like sleeping around or having sex before we're married or moving in together or doing, like even looking at pornography, we think, oh, that stuff's not that big of a deal. It's just not that big of a deal. And the reason why we think it's not that big of a deal is because we're naive. We've never been 30 or 40 or 50 and woken up and looked back on a bunch of memories that we wish we could erase. We've never had to look into the eyes of our teenage kid and who asked us, when you were 17, what did you do, Dad? You know, you never had that experience. So of course you'd be naive. You can't help it. This is why. Whenever you start a job, a good job has a good orientation. You know why? Because the boss knows that there are things that you don't know, and for you to be successful at your job, you need to learn some things that you don't know. This is why I always recommend premarital counseling before you get married. Why? Because everyone enters into marriage naive. There's just some there are some things out there that you don't know. There's some experience that you don't have. And here's what newlyweds think. They think, but we're in love. We're in love. Nothing could go wrong. But how many of us in this room can look back and say, there is so much that could go wrong? And you just don't know it. Why? Because you're naive. You're naive. I could go on and on and on and describe different situations for naive that could describe naive people. But the truth is, when we're naive, most of the time, we don't want to listen to other people. We just think they're overreacting. And that's because we think that we know things. We think we're the experts. But the truth is, we're just naive. So my question for you is, are you naive? Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, I'm older. I'm not naive anymore. I mean, I've moved past that. Well, I just want to warn you that being naive is not, you know, something that only young people have to handle or deal with. Anytime you experience something new, anytime you have something that you don't have experience with, you enter into that situation naive. So are you naive? I think if we're honest, all of us in this room are naive in certain areas. But the good news for all of us is there's a solution. And it's a difficult solution, but there is a solution. And it's really the same solution that we're going to see over and over again over the next 3 weeks. And the solution is really found in wisdom. Seeking wisdom. And I know I made a mistake. I put a 1, a 2, and a 3. And if you've got the Bible app open and the notes on the Bible app, it's a 1 and 2 and a 3, like this is a 3-part process. But actually, seeking wisdom has 2 parts. I want to read something to you that the book of Proverbs says about seeking wisdom out of Proverbs chapter 9. It says this. I think we have it. Do we not have it? Oh, there we go. Good deal. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine and has also set her table. He goes on and says this. She has sent out her servants and she calls from the highest point in the city. Let all who are simple or let all who are naive come to my house. To those who have no sense, to which we're like, I don't want to admit I have no sense. But there are times where all of us have no sense about certain things. And if we act like we have sense about things we have no sense about, we're just being a fool. We'll talk about that next week. But to those who have no sense, she says, come eat my food and drink the wine I've mixed. And then it says this, leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. I love this because this is the invitation of wisdom to all of us. And what I love about this invitation that wisdom extends to all of us is that it is to all of us. It's not just to some of us. It's not just to the ones who are chosen or just to a special group of people. This invitation to seek wisdom is an invitation that's extended to all of us, no matter what our age are, no matter our ages or where we've been or where we're from. We all have this invitation to leave your simple ways and live, and to instead walk in the way of insight or walk in the way of wisdom. So the thing that we need to make a commitment to do to move beyond our naivete is to seek wisdom. But the question is, how do we seek wisdom? How do we seek wisdom? Well, I think there are 2 ways that we can seek wisdom. The first way is just to seek God. This is why. It's so important that you are investing in your personal relationship with God on a daily basis, that you are practicing spiritual disciplines of prayer and Bible reading and silence and solitude and whatever else helps you to connect with God. Why? Because God is the author of wisdom. God is the one who extends this invitation for wisdom. In fact, I don't have this verse on the screen, but in Proverbs it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." If you want wisdom, it begins with seeking God. That's why it's so important for you to read God's word on a daily basis. It's the best habit you could ever develop, because from God's word, we develop wisdom. It changes how we think about things. So if you want wisdom, it begins with seeking God. But then and here's what happens when we do that, by the way. If we will pursue God, God will end up being our coach. He'll end up being kind of our tutor or our mentor, the one that shows us the way we should go that points out things that we don't know. So seek God. And then the other part to that is this, to listen to those who are further along than you. Listen to those who are further along than you. Now, here's what I know is true about you, because it's true about me sometimes. I'm good with the seeking God part, but most of the time, I'm not humble enough to listen to those who are further along than me. And if you're honest, most of the time, you're not humble enough to listen to those who are further along than you as well. And you know why? Because you think you're smarter than you are. And I think I'm smarter than I am. We think we have it together. But if we're going to seek wisdom, it's a two-part process. It's about seeking God, and it's about listening to those who are further along than us. And I know that the last thing that a naive person wants to do is to listen to their parents, or to listen to their pastor, or to listen to someone who has more experience than them. But here's the deal. Those people that are ahead of you, let this sink in for just a minute. Those people that know more than you are a treasure of knowledge and wisdom that God has given you to keep you from making dumb decisions. They are a treasure of knowledge and wisdom that can help you avoid some of the things that they had to go through. They are a treasure of knowledge and wisdom that can help you be further along in your path. God has surrounded you with some people who know things that you don't know. And the wise person listens to those who are further along with them. And like I said, this takes courageous humility. Most of us have too much of an ego to do this. And I think we need to repent of that. We need to humble ourselves enough to listen to those who have more experience than us. Now, like I said earlier, the temptation for those of us in this room who are, let's say, over 40, like me, or 47 like me and above, the temptation is to think that, well, naive people, they're just young people. But the truth is, any of us can be naive, regardless of our age. And the reason why that's true is because all of us are inexperienced and lack judgment in certain areas. In fact, just this week, Liz and I have a situation that we're going through that we don't have any experience in. And we're having to bring some people in who know some things that we don't know. And it'd be great if we didn't have to, but we know we are naive. Actually, Liz said this the other day. I don't want to be naive about this. She didn't even know what I was talking about. And it was a perfect example. She said, I don't want to be naive about this. So she's bringing someone else in who knows more than we know about this. So don't think this doesn't apply to you if you're over 40. So what do I want you to do in light of all this? This week, I want you to start putting these things into practice. To seek wisdom, to seek God, to listen to those who are further along than you. And here's how I want you to do that. I want you just to think about something that you're going through right now where you're lacking experience. Where maybe it's new, maybe it's something you haven't been through before. It's a new stage of life. It's a new job, it's a new career, it's a new relationship or whatever. I want you to think about. And then I want you to ask yourself, Who can I ask for some input and some advice who's a little further along than me? Who can I ask to help me in this? Who can I ask to give me some insight? Who can I ask to speak into my life? And then be quiet and listen to what they have to say to you. But there's something else I want to encourage you to do. See, I don't know if you realize this or not, but we have at our disposal an incredible piece of literature that's filled with wisdom. It's the book of Proverbs. It's all of these sayings that are just filled with wisdom. And so my challenge, starting today for all of us in this room, is that we would, over the next 31 days, that we together would read through the book of Proverbs. And I know some of you are already reading some things in your Bible plan. I want to encourage you to add this to what you're already doing. You're like, I don't have time to do that. You do have time. You just got to make time. Figure it out. You're smart. You can figure it out. But I want you to do that. Read through that. And if you don't have anything that you're currently reading right now, you're like, I don't read the Bible on a regular basis. Well, this is a great place to start. And like I said, you can, or like we've talked about before, if you have the YouVersion Bible app, if you go up to the plan section and you and search for Proverbs, it'll pull up a 31-day reading plan and it'll remind you about it every day. But the reason why I want us to do this is because I don't want us, even though we have been, maybe we are or we will be naive or a fool or a mocker, I don't want us to stay that. I want us to be a group of people whose lives are characterized by wisdom. But that doesn't just happen. It begins with seeking wisdom. And we seek wisdom by seeking God and then by being willing to listen to others who are around us. So why don't you close your eyes for a minute? I want to ask you a couple questions for you to think about. I just want you to think about what's going on in your life right now. What stage of life you're in, whatever's happening. And I want you to ask yourself, where in my life right now do I lack experience that I could use some wisdom? Where in my life right now am I naive? And then I want you to talk to God about that. Say, God, I realize that I am naive in this area of life. And I ask you to give me wisdom. And then ask him to bring someone else into your life who's further along than you, who can also speak wisdom into your situation. Heavenly Father, my prayer for me, for my family, for our church family, is that we would have the courage and the humility to recognize those areas in our life where we are naive. And that's really hard because most of us really think we're smarter than we are, or we think we know more than we really know, and we're just naive. And I ask that you would just give us the courage to seek wisdom, to seek you and to listen to others. I also know, God, that there are people in our lives who we recognize, as we've talked about this, as naive. And I ask that you would give us an open door and the courage and the love and the humility to be able to speak into their life, to keep them from making bad decisions, to keep them from doing things that they regret, and that you would make us all into people of wisdom. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So before we share communion together, I do want you to be thinking, as we go through this series, this is one of those series where I hope that you recognize some areas in your life where you're naive or where you're a fool or where you're a mocker, and you kind of pursue wisdom out of that. But this is one of those incredible series where we have an opportunity to learn some things that maybe we can pass on to someone else as well. And I think all of us have people in our lives who are naive. And maybe you can use this opportunity of this series to seek ways to speak wisdom in love to the people in your life. Ask God to give you an open door. You never know how God might want to use you in that. But let's respond by taking communion together. And communion, like, you know, we do every week here, it just reminds us of what Jesus has done for us. That Jesus, I'm losing my voice, offered his body as a sacrifice. Sorry about that. Offered his body as a sacrifice and shed his blood so that our sins could be forgiven. And here's what I know. Most of us, before we knew about Jesus, thought we could be good enough to earn God's favor. You know why? Because we were naive. We thought we knew more than we did. But then what communion reminds us of is that Jesus paid the price that we could never pay and did for us something that we could have never done on our own. So let's share communion together and take the bread and remember Jesus' body that was broken for us. And then take the juice. And remember that Jesus' blood was shed so that our sins could be forgiven. Just remember. Why don't you just pause and close your eyes and tell him thank you for what he's done for you. Jesus, we do thank you for doing for us what we could never do for ourselves. And we remember that with communion. We remember your death. We remember the suffering. And we thank you that because of that, we can have a relationship with you. So in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.